I'm Paul O'Neill, and I'm a consultant physician at one of the hospitals in South Manchester, and also I work for the university and have done for many years, and I was head of Manchester Medical School for 4 years up to last year.
Excellent, thanks Paul. So what we're hoping to do really is just to get a bit of an inside information really on making some applications to medicine.
Yeah.
So if we wanted to start talking about sort of personal statements, what sort of information should potential medicine students include in their personal statements, Paul?
I think it's important that they don't simply use the statement with lots of reasons why they want to do medicine. It really needs to be about them and their experiences, what they've done. And then, so if they describe what they've done and then what they've learned from that and how they've used it towards a career in medicine, well then that is usually much more powerful in terms of reading it. So you get an idea of what the person's actually like, as opposed to, you know, the nice language that we all sometimes use.
Do you think there's any particular skills that universities are looking for in personal statements for medicine?
I think it's linked to what they should put in. I think that it's important in a personal statement, and almost all medical schools are looking for some sort of ongoing experience in relation to health and social care, personal care of people. But with that, what is often being looked for is the idea that this person is really motivated and committed, and it's much more than simply what they've achieved academically. And I think the sort of skills, and when people are talking about what they've learned, it's often around, you know, working in teams, it's being able to cope with difficult situations, it's sometimes leading, and that can come out in terms of people's work voluntary experiences, but also things around playing sport, other personal activities, and how they've demonstrated that they can achieve things within those.
How do you think students can evidence their determination and motivation to study such a demanding course such as medicine?
I think it's around what they've done, you know, beyond their sort of, you know, their school, college. But it's often looking for some form of an enduring commitment, something which they've done. They've not just simply been on a two-day course or a one-day course. It's something that they've done regularly. It doesn't have to be, you know, many, many hours a week, but something that they've done, you know, once a week for, you know, a year or so.
And that they've shown a commitment to.
Commitment, because then you think, well, they're really committed to it. And in their personal statement, talking about that is then very helpful. So it's not simply a description, it's also some reflection, some thought about it.
Yep. Talking a little bit about the UK CAT, which some medical schools are asking for, do you think there's any way that that can be prepared for?
I think it's very important that before you've done the UK CAT, you've got an idea about what sort of questions they're going to ask, because they are different. They're sort of strange questions when you first see them, and it's quite easy to be put off by them.
Yeah.
And on the website, the UK CAT website, there are example questions.
Yeah.
So as a minimum, people should have looked at those and understand what it is. Otherwise, it's very easy to be thrown by something which you think, well, I've got no idea. But if you actually look at it, people can answer them.
Yeah.
I think the other thing is, you know, there's often things available on the web, some of the practice questions, but some of it requires, you know, cost, which is, you know, which can be hard for people. I think the other thing about UK CAT is that medical schools use it in different ways.
Yeah.
And when people are applying for medicine, each medical school has a slightly different way that it looks at people and what it wants from people. And one of the big pieces of advice I often give is spend some time looking around individual schools' websites about what they exactly want in terms of GCSEs or A-levels, or, and for the UK CAD, each school uses it differently.
Yeah.
You know, some use it at a minimum, some use it in very much a, you know, 50% level that you must get.
Yeah.
So I think it's just very important, because I've known students sometimes waste an application because they don't fulfil the criteria.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, you know, I've worked with a lot of medical schools, is that in the admissions department, there's often really good people, great people who are very helpful, very friendly. And when you're in doubt, ring them up.
Yeah, contact them.
And they'll usually give you an answer when you, you know, because people often have slightly unusual circumstances and
yeah.
stuff. And it's just worth ringing
after
doing a bit of research on individual schools.
So moving on to sort of work experience and voluntary work. What sort of work experience would you recommend students to undertake for healthcare or medicine courses?
I think the first thing is realising that, you know, a lot of places now require people to be 16 to work in them.
Yeah.
And also there are things like CRB checks, the checks on, you know, people's records and stuff. And although almost always that's fine, it can take a bit of time.
Yeah.
So you need to plan ahead. Because you may want to start next week, but you're not going to be able to start for you know, a few months. And also, medical schools aren't looking for people who have spent a long time shadowing a surgeon or a you know, a GP. It's actually people, you know, working with children's groups, working with voluntary organisations, sometimes elderly people's homes, but whatever is available. It's really a very broad area around social and healthcare.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be high-tech medicine. That can be useful just to give you an idea, but it doesn't have to be that.
No, and that's probably a lot harder for students to come by as well.
It's much harder, and it's getting harder because of, you know, people now and, you know, hospitals and others have much greater scrutiny about who's coming into them.
Yeah.
And, you know, often schools and colleges can point people towards voluntary groups and things they can get involved with.
What sort of things should students be sort of gaining from their work experience?
I think it's how do they feel about looking after people?
Yeah.
You know, people at a disadvantage, be it education, be it learning difficulties, be it health, whatever it is, but it's really that wide experience and giving the students some idea about whether it's what they want to do.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully it is what they want to do, and then it's using it within their application. But I think one of the bits is people might feel they want to do something, but when they actually get the experience,
yeah,
they think,
the reality.
Well, and I think the other bit then is what people can gain is the rewards from an ongoing commitment and getting to know people. Children over many months, and I think you get a lot of reward from that.
And the question that we get asked a lot is, how much work experience should medicine applicants have?
It shouldn't be overwhelming. It shouldn't be, you know, they should be, in medicine it's very important that people remain broad, that they've got outside interests. You know, it's not all about doing medicine. Something like, you know, a few hours a week would be fine. What's important is this idea of something which goes on over a period that they're committed to it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to be Saturday and Sunday, every hour, every day, because that wouldn't be a good balance either.
No, it's more important really to show that commitment to something for a long amount of time.
You know, and I think that's different to sometimes people go on courses, which is more about, you know, just a few days of the sort of shiny high-tech stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's really about what's it feel like working after people.
Yeah. Okay, moving on to a different area, which is about medicine interviews.
Right.
I was going to ask you if you can remember your interview for medical school, and was it scary?
I wasn't interviewed.
Oh, no.
At that time, some schools didn't interview.
Right.
Just about every school now interviews.
Yeah.
Because interviews are useful just for face-to-face discussion with people, and I think it's a discussion, not an interrogation. It's sort of, you know, it's meant to find out something about that person. But I've had, you know, after qualifying, part of being a doctor are interviews, and yes, they are scary, they do make you anxious, and that's natural.
So do you think there's anything that people can do to try and prevent their nerves for interviews?
I think there's different things. I think one bit is when we're nervous, some people talk too much and some people talk too little. They become different.
Yeah.
And having some idea of how you are so you can rein it in. So if you tend to be a bit quiet, realising you must speak up.
Yeah.
And if you tend not to shut up, realising pauses can be useful. And I think preparing for things and, you know, going over in your mind and preparing for it in terms of how you might answer certain questions all means that when you're asked it, yes, you are nervous, but you know your nerves can then, you know, subside, go down, and you can get things over.
Yeah.
And also in interviews, the interview panel are used to young people being very nervous,
yeah,
and are trying to put people at ease. And often when people start, they're very anxious, but then usually gradually their personality sort of shines through, you know. So it, you know, people expect you to be nervous at the beginning,
yeah,
and will make allowances. You know, they won't say, oh well, that's it then. They want to draw you out, they want to get beyond that.
What sort of skills are interviewers looking for medical courses?
That's a difficult one, but I think what people like is people who are flexible in their thinking, can articulate things, have obviously,
yeah,
thought about things, flexible in that they can see different points of view,
yeah,
and can weigh things up, that they talk in terms which aren't simply cliche and things which we're all familiar with, but they clearly have their own thoughts and their own views on things.
Yeah.
And there's very, very few things that would be absolutely right or wrong.
Yeah.
That what everything, well, almost everything in medicine are grey, there are views on it, and expressing those and being able to articulate them,
yeah,
you know, is important. I think people who can show how they've learnt from their work experience or their other, you know, other outside interests,
yeah,
and what they've gained in terms of, you know, how a team works well, doesn't work well, what they would do,
yeah,
things like that are very good. Usually the interview flows by.
How do you think students could prepare for interviews?
I think that it's important that, like applications, each school is different in the way they do it. You know,
yeah,
sometimes there's a couple of people, sometimes there's a panel of people, sometimes there are students on the panel,
right,
sometimes there's not, sometimes there's people who are not medical, sometimes it's all. And so the websites will,
yeah,
usually give some idea about what to expect. So,
yeah,
when you go in there,
you're
it's
a bit
not,
less nervous.
Yeah, you've,
yeah,
got an idea about what they might be, you know, how it might be structured.
Yeah.
I think it's important just to think about, you know, some of the questions, think about some topics that are happening in medicine at the moment,
yeah,
that, you know, if you're asked, you might talk about and you're happy to talk about.
Yeah.
So it's almost thinking through, because even if you're not asked that question, the thinking through helps you prepare
for it. Will
actually
help you, yeah. Will medical applicants be asked questions that they can't prepare for at interview?
Yeah, often schools will try and do that, because we know that at some schools people are heavily coached,
yeah,
and rehearsed and things, and what we're really interested in, what are they,
it's
like
they
as
really
a person,
think, yeah,
you know, rather than how they've been coached. And so schools will often try and give you questions where there's not a right or wrong,
yeah,
researched, rehearsed answer, but more something where it's a discussion, it's a,
yeah,
debate. And often people's personality and thinking shines through that.
Yeah, great. The last sort of few questions we were going to ask you, Paul, it's more about what it's like to be a doctor. So what was your first role after university?
Well, as a doctor, it's changed a little bit now, but it's still as the first year after qualifying is really just gaining experience of taking responsibility as being a doctor. And, you know, we talked earlier about the scariness of interviews and stuff like that. Well, suddenly being responsible for people and people turning to you and saying, well, what would you do, is quite a scary experience.
Yeah,
and imagine. And also, you know, myself, like others, when you're first looking after people who are very sick, who are dying, who are similar to you, different to you, these are all things which stay with you. And, you know, I can still remember some of the first patients I looked after, because it's such a powerful experience. But the thing which, for me, was I just enjoyed it. I just found so much stimulation. And, you know, being a doctor is just this wonderful combination of dealing with people in all sorts of shapes, sizes, personalities, with the sort of the healthcare, the science, and, you know, trying to help people get through. And it is, it's a great combination. I still love it.
And what's the best thing about being a doctor?
I think, you know, I have students in my clinic, and the other day I was saying it's just that there's a whole range of people that you just deal with. And the challenges of looking after people is, to me, you know, the best thing. So it's applying all the science and things, but it's actually around
people. What would you say is the worst thing about being a doctor?
There aren't many things. I think it's demanding. You know, and I think it's as demanding now as it ever was. And so it's being a medical student is a lot of work. Being a doctor is a lot of work. There are things which are very difficult about people in very distressing circumstances, and that still distresses me, but that's part of being a doctor.
And why did you want to be a doctor, Paul?
That's an interesting question. I mean, I my family, you know, my dad was a fitter, so working on big engineering. My mother worked in tailoring, sewing pockets, and, you know, I was the first person in my family.
So it wasn't in your
family. First person in the family to go to university. And but after GCSEs, I then did some work experience in with adults with learning difficulties in a big hospital, as they were then. They don't exist. And I started thinking, well, this might be good to do. And I spoke to people, and they said, well, you know, you should try for medicine. And so I applied, and I applied to Manchester, and Manchester was the only place that would have me.
So you came to Manchester.
So I tell people, the thing in medicine, it doesn't matter where you get a medicine degree, they're all the same. And you only need one offer. That's all you need.
And so finally, just to wrap things up, what would your top tips for students and wanting to apply for medicine be?
Well, I think it's medicine or it's any of the sort of healthcare professions, because I think, you know, within healthcare professions, there's you know, people are attracted to them for different reasons. And the first thing, I think, is working out what's right for you. And that knowing what might suit you is so important. So I think some of the things about thinking it through, talking to people, reading about things, and then getting some experience. And then I think, having done that, the next thing is understanding how you need to prepare for it. So, you know, for medicine, there's a lot of things you need to prepare for, apart from simply getting the academic grades. There's a lot of other things, as we've been talking about, just to getting that to getting to that stage.
Okay, thank you very much.